When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to the Everybody's a Free Agent Now edition of Sharing Sox. I'm Southside Sox duty geezer Lee Allen. With me, my son and West Coast correspondent, Will. And we know what happened. I called it perfectly, incidentally, on the White Sox. Do we pick up the option moves? It wasn't hard to say they would pick up any of them, but I also predicted they would try very hard, or I said I hope they would try very hard to trade Tim before their 5 days were up. Because that way they could get something, even a hot dog vendor, they could get something rather than absolutely nothing. But Tim is gone. Liam's gone. Not that they can't come back on different contracts. Having a one-year contract with Liam makes no sense. He's not going to be able to pitch until September, probably, if then.
Yeah, I think there's no way those guys are coming back. One, for the White Sox, I just don't think they're actually interested in getting any of those guys back. But I also think those guys, I mean, they must just be running for the hills now that they're out of that organization.
I would think anybody would. Yeah. Tim came out. We both looked at the top 50 free agents from MLB trade rumors, which is certainly not the be all and end all, but it's as good as anybody's list. Nobody's list is better than anybody else's. And those guys are really good. They're usually very good at predicting totals that you know, somebody will get 5 years and $150 million. They're good at that kind of thing. I think they missed Xander Bogaerts last year by $91 million. But they're close most of the time. And they underdid. They underdid Manny Machado, for example. And when you're at the top of that market, there's so much room to go. I think they're going over $500 million for Otani. An interesting one they had was 12 years for Cody Bellinger.
12 years. Can you imagine signing Bellinger
He's the youngest free agent you could imagine.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
He's not that young. He's 28. So
I think there was 12. I don't have that one written down here, but it's I think it was 12 years and $240 million, something along those lines.
I cannot imagine signing Bellinger to a deal like that. Great bounce back season. Bellinger did everything right to earn himself a good contract after just being terrible his last year with the Dodgers. But talk about rolling the dice on someone for 12 years. That's crazy. You're telling me there are teams right now who would want 40-year-old Cody Bellinger? But that's the market. I mean, it is a bad free agent market.
It's particularly for hitters or position players. It's
and
miserable.
Pitchers.
Pretty good pitchers out there.
There are some pretty good pitchers out there. It is definitely not a feast of starting pitching. The aces for the most part are off the market.
It's not bad, you know. It's not bad, but the hitting is really, and the middle infield. I think Tim might get a good deal. They have Tim at number 50 of their 50. 1 year, $12 million, and that's what it'll have to be. That'd be one of those show me years.
Yeah,
and from his point of view too, to have a good season and then, I mean, he's only 30. Have a good season and then maybe pick up a 4 or 5 year deal after that.
Yeah, Tim did the reverse Bellinger in what was becoming a contract year, which was having the worst season of your career. So he really put himself in a very tight spot. Somebody will definitely take him. I don't know if it'll be a good team that takes him for $12 million or if he's going to end up in a smaller mid market with an $8 million deal.
On the MLBTR chat, there were a couple questions about Tim. That was the only thing that had the White Sox at all, I think. The guy from the sites suggested that while there may be some major market people who are looking for shortstop / second base, but he's probably going to end up at second base, it's not a good shortstop.
Yeah.
He suggested, and then somebody asked about Miami because Miami's got middle infield problems. And he suggested that might be something Tim really likes to get out from the huge major market spotlight
pressure,
have a chance to go back and regroup personally. I think that makes sense. Now, when you've had the big spotlight, do you give it up? Now, politicians can't, maybe ballplayers can't either.
In a contract year, you know, because he is only going to get a 1 year deal. I mean, there's no way he's getting more than that. So I do think that you're possibly right about him. Another big thing is playing time. You know, to prove that you are worth more money, you have to be on the field and you have to be producing. If you go to a place like, let's say, Los Angeles, New York, those places are going to pull you off the field sooner at that price point than other teams will. A lot of other teams, if they're going to pay you $12 million per year, let's say $10 million per year, they're going to try to keep you on the field and give you that chance. If you go to a place like the Dodgers, Yankees, you're making $12 million. That's kind of chump change for them in a lot of ways. So if you're not producing, you could find yourself gone. You could certainly find yourself in a limited bench role, which makes it a lot harder to get that four-year contract, a lot harder to build back that faith in what you can do. I think Tim is actually a really interesting free agent, and he's a guy, you know, you mentioned he was 50th on the list, and he's a guy that has the potential to be someone who should have been 15th on the list. But he also has the potential to be someone who should have been 75th on the list. So it really is going to be a fascinating year for Tim Anderson. I think if he and his representation are smart, they will go to a place where he is definitely going to play every day, probably at second base.
Not that he's ever done that, you understand. In the last 6 years, because he's injured half the time.
Play every day. Yeah, have the opportunity to play every day if he's healthy so that he can possibly get a bigger contract. Because the last thing he wants is to go to one of the major teams and get played off the field or end up in a utility role where he doesn't get to bat, at least, you know, on a regular basis. He's not going to get his next big contract from his glove, most likely, but you know, if you can get Tim Anderson for $10 to $12 million and the dude jumps back up to even 280, 290, If he really
takes the occasional
ways,
takes the occasional walk.
Well, that's not going to happen. So you got to take that out of the equation. But if he can get up, but Tim Anderson's metrics are truly terrible. I mean, that season was awful. I think I read his ground ball rate was something around 70%.
Over 60%. It was
over 60%.
Over 60%. It was the worst in the major leagues of regulars anyway, by 4%.
Wow.
You can't get the ball off the ground. So it's not like he's hitting line drives. You know, well, he's not hitting homers anymore. Well, a lot of people don't hit homers anymore, and they're very valuable. But if everything's on the ground, even with the new rules on positioning, that's not a good sign. You better hit it 105 miles every time, and his hard hit rate was way down.
Yeah.
It was just bad all the way around. I don't think he wanted to play.
No.
Particularly once the season started out utter crap, both for him and for the team. And then, I mean, why did that stupid thing with Jose Ramirez? That's just
embarrassing. Embarrassing. Yeah. And I did just read that Getz has said that nobody is off the table.
He did say that.
Now, what that means is Luis Robert's off the table and everyone else is up for grabs. I would
not be surprised to see Cease go.
I think Cease will go. I do. I think Cease will go, and I think Cease should go. I think you can still get something for him. Luis Robert, yes, you would get a historic haul in terms of what the White Sox could get. But that contract for his skill set is so team friendly that you would have to be crazy as the White Sox to let that contract go. Yes, you would get a lot because it's so friendly, but prospects are prospects, and you know they are not sure things, and the last thing you want.
Well, I think for him you wouldn't just get prospects.
Get prospects, but it's not like you're going to trade Luis Robert and you're going to get another Luis Robert. What you're going to get is some guys worse than Luis Robert and some prospects who could be Luis Robert. I mean, you would get top prospects. You're not dealing with somebody's eighth best prospect in their system. You're getting one and twos. But his deal is so friendly that it would be insane to get rid of him, because if you get rid of him, there's nothing to watch on the field, one thing. With this White Sox team, you get rid of him, you've got no face of the franchise, and you have to have some face of the franchise, and it's got to be Luis Robert at this point.
You don't think it's Pedro Grifol?
I don't, because I was looking at the list of new coaches, and it took me a second to realize which one was Grifol. So that tells me that he's not necessarily the face of the franchise. I'm bummed that we have Grifol for another year. I'm bummed we have Katz for another year. Honestly, if I'm being totally honest, I would have liked to have seen everybody go. That being said, Grifol and Katz are the two that I can be like, okay, we'll do this. It's not like next year is a winning year anyway. You might as well give these guys a chance to prove something as well. I definitely think Dylan Cease could go. I think it would be really smart to get rid of Dylan Cease right now. You really roll the dice on him coming out and having an underwhelming year, and then you get nothing for Dylan Cease. He's in a very friendly situation contract-wise. Teams, I think you're talking about very good prospects and a you know, potential decent major leaguer in return. But I think you got to try to get rid of Dylan Cease now. You've got no chance of winning next year. There is no chance of winning next year.
That's not what they say in all the releases that I get about buying season tickets.
Oh, really? Interesting. I can't believe they're even selling tickets next year with the team that we're putting on the field. But Luis Robert has to stay. I think if you get rid of Luis Robert, you are telling your fan base, see you in 2030. I just
pretty close. Yeah. Yeah. No,
there's no light at the end of the tunnel if you get rid of Luis Robert. You build a team around a guy like Luis Robert.
You do. And then you hope something hits. Back to the list. One spot ahead of T.A., a player who probably can't play in 2024, Liam comes in at 49. And they're pretty obviously a two-year contract because there's no sense giving him a one-year contract. So 2 years is $12 million. They like the Phillies and the Diamondbacks, Red Sox. There are a lot of teams that can use Liam Hendricks in 2025. And possibly at the end of 2024. I mean, they'd have him around. Plus, he's such a good clubhouse presence, which White Sox, of course, have none of. But he's just so gung-ho about everything. I think, particularly for a young team like the Diamondbacks, he'd really be, not that they aren't gung-ho, but obviously, but just keep them that way. Keep them going, even though we've accomplished this. Well, no, you haven't. Come on. That's his kind of thing. The other White Sox-related players, Raylo, Ronaldo Lopez are predicting to the Twins. So we may get to see him here for 3 years.
I'm fine with that.
3 years and $30 million. He had a good year. Giolito at number 17, going 2 years, 44. And of course, who the people go to is total wild card. There's each guy has
a bet. Yeah.
Mets, Orioles, somebody else in there who's my handwriting so bad I can't see, but Orioles would be a perfect thing. The Orioles are desperate for pitching.
What did you say his predicted price point was? 2 for 24?
244.
Oh. I mean, I realize baseball money is very inflated now, and guys just get goo gobs of money no matter what, it seems, but wow, I don't know that I would pull the trigger on Lucas Giolito at $22 million a year right now. I mean,
he was good for the Sox until the trade deadline, and then he completely fell apart both in Los Angeles and in Cleveland.
Yeah, and I mean, fell apart. That was he was one of the worst in baseball during that span. Maybe that's just adjusting to change of scenery or something like that, but he was truly dreadful. I'm actually surprised he's as high on that list as he is given. But he has shown us in the past that he's a good pitcher and can be a good pitcher. So get him to a place with great pitching coaching and allow him to get some comfort. I think there's a chance he could be a guy worth a decent amount of money, but I don't – I mean, maybe because they're so desperate, Baltimore is going to be willing to spend that kind of money on him. But I don't know. Baltimore is not a huge contract team, and that is a pretty big contract. The Mets, of course, seem like the right kind of people to make that bad move. They seem to only make bad moves or questionable moves. Yeah, I don't know. And there's a world where, you know, he could take a pay cut and come to the White Sox, but I also don't see that happening.
No, I don't think that's coming. At their number 30 point, left out he who should not be named, they're predicting 2 years, 26. So much less than Giolito, which is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the double Tommy John surgery is still going to kind of linger, even though Eovaldi certainly showed us in the World Series that you can be elite after a second Tommy John. But he's kind of the shining example. And Clevinger is definitely not quite at that level. But he will land somewhere, and I think he'll probably be right around that price point. I think that's exactly right.
Of all the players now coming in, again, the predictions could be wildly off base on any of this. It really looks, they think as a group that the Tigers are going to be more aggressive than anybody else, the AL Central. Mm. And I think that's probably true. And I think the Tigers could actually be, at least within the division, pretty good next year.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they were missing our entire starting pitching staff almost for most of the year. Those guys are due back.
And they are doing a pretty good rebuild in terms of young talent as well. I mean, the biggest thing the Tigers have going against them is that Javi Baez picked up his option. I'm sure that's one where they were sitting there being like, come on, Javi, come on, come on. Don't take it. Don't take it. And of course he took it because it's worth $1 trillion. So why would he not take it?
Well, and on the other side on that, if they're going for these young pitchers back and these guys see him as being in on Sonny Gray and Flaherty and several other of the pitching choice of Tiger Molly, number of pitching options out there. Baez is still though he's flaky, a premier defender.
Yeah, he throws the ball into outer space, but yeah. He certainly has the ability to make outstanding plays and play solid defense, but he also has a wild arm and swings at stuff that I think
it's crazy.
Throw it in Detroit and it ends up in Minneapolis and he swings. His swings at sliders are just comical.
I mean, I watch games on TV that playing against the Tigers. I'm going, you throw him a strike. Why the hell do you throw him a strike?
Yeah, never throw him a strike. That. If you're not throwing a slider that's landing on or around first base, I don't know why you're throwing out to Javi Baez.
Now, the ones that they think the White Sox, at least one of them, thinks the White Sox would be in on it.
Well, here, let's take our break real quick, and we'll go with the guys that we think are going to come to the White Sox. And we'll also talk a little bit about the free agent, where none of this matters until this particular man decides where he's going to go. Because I think this year, more than any, free agency really depends on one guy's decision.
Well, the top of the free agent market does.
Yeah, yeah. The lower range guys can go wherever, but the top of the market depends on one guy, and you'll never guess who it is. We'll be right back on Sharing Socks. Welcome back to Sharing Socks. We talked about the White Sox and White Sox adjacent players on the free agency market. Now we're going to talk about the guys that MLB trade rumors thinks could end up at the White Sox.
The top one they have as possible, and it's one choice out of three, is the number 11, Eduardo Rodriguez. But they have Erod as 4 years and $82 million, which sounds sensible, incidentally. He's been very good. White Sox are not going 4 years and $82 million on a pitcher.
As we know, that would be the largest contract in White Sox history, and it's not going to happen.
And next they have the next one, number 12, going from pitchers to hitters, Teoscar Hernandez, 4 years and 80. That's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
So then we drop way down to number 28. This one's possible, I think. I think this one really is. Yariel Rodriguez, who has been playing in Japan, but he's Cuban.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
They have him at 4 years and $32 million, and two out of three picked the White Sox for that. And I think that's a possible. I think that's very possible.
Well, those are White Sox numbers. I'm actually questioning the credibility of this list that they would have two $80 million-plus guys going to the White Sox. I mean,
well, I'm sure they're saying one or the other, you know, but I think Rodriguez, you're desperate for starting pitching. He's a starting pitcher. He's done well in Japan. Was on the Cuban national team for several years. He's still pretty young. I can see that one as a possibility. And then we go down to one where everybody said it's the White Sox. And this, of course, has been the rumor forever and ever and ever and ever, Whit Merrifield.
Yeah, I saw that. Everybody predicted him going to the White Sox. Why does everyone think he's going to the White Sox?
Well, it's been in the press. It's been everybody's going to the White Sox. They're really in on Whit Merrifield. They really want Whit Merrifield since long before. I mean, obviously the White Sox couldn't say it because it would have been tampering, but since long before the season was over. Also, Salvi Perez, who's not in the top 50.
Do we think the Merrifield thing is just like, oh, because we saw him do well against us for so long, we like the look of him?
And he is. I mean, he's a White Sox killer and has been. I that seems like it. I looked up his defensive numbers. They have not been good the last couple of years.
Oh, he's old.
Well, he's 30. He's going to be 35, which is not. You should not be calling that old anymore.
But come on, that's not prime. You're not in your prime in Major League Baseball at 35.
No, and his defensive number is not good anywhere. I think I figured out what it is because of the perennial problem. Now he does play both right field and second base, which is perennial problems for the White Sox. I mean, forever here. I think maybe they think they can get him to play both positions at once.
Save a little money.
Because it's only quite possible that the White Sox didn't notice the rule change that says that your infields have to be playing on the dirt.
Yeah.
And figure he could play like the second baseman did against left-handed power hitters, you know, halfway
well,
out to right
here's
field
the thing,
and cover
though.
It all.
Here's the thing, though. Does the right fielder have to be in the grass?
I don't think so, no.
Well, there you go. If you don't list him as the second baseman, but list him as the right fielder, he can play wherever you want.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And Luis Robert, now with Benintendi was pretty bad in left field, but it's not the same thing as having a Loy out there or Vaughn or somebody. So you could move Luis over toward, you know, right center, and he's pretty good, as we know. He can cover that whole thing.
He's got it all.
So there's a big payroll saving right there.
What's the numbers prediction on Merrifield?
218. So that's well within Sox money.
Yeah, and that's actually a really good price for him. If you know, if you can get him at $9 million a year, I definitely think Whit Merrifield is a guy worth that. I would not pay more than that, but and somebody might. I don't think the White Sox will. Yeah,
he really is. Even though his defensive numbers are not great lately, he is capable of playing anywhere in the outfield, really not center. But he can play either corner outfield. He can play second base. You can probably throw him at third if you needed to. I'm not sure what he is like. I'm not implying negativity at all. I just don't know. As the clubhouse leader, as being the senior presence in the clubhouse. Because especially if they don't re-sign Elvis, there's nobody.
And I don't think they will. He would be the oldest member of the White Sox, right? If he joined the team.
Oh, yeah.
I think by quite a bit. Talk about not getting pumped about anything is this list of free agents, two of which I think we're not going to get. And two of which I think we could get. And the only one I'm kind of excited about is the Cuban player who's been playing in Japan. Sure. Yeah. Get Merrifield. If you can get him for $9 million, take him. I don't think there's a lot of value there, but he has been a very, very good Major League Baseball player for a long time. And it's probably worth at an affordable rate. Trying to get him just to put bodies on the field. I mean, the White Sox have kind of been a bodies on the field scenario.
I've always been impressed with him as seeming to be a very smart baseball player. And Lord knows the White Sox can use smart baseball players because I think in general, they're dumb.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that comes from bad coaching too.
Oh, yeah.
You, You can teach baseball smarts. You can teach baseball IQ, and I just don't think the White Sox do. I do think Merrifield probably has a very, very high baseball IQ. And that, of course, is a valuable thing to bring in with a veteran presence, no doubt about that. So I'm not against a Whit Merrifield signing, but it does not, you know, it's not going to help me get up in the morning and watch a White Sox game.
Probably not good. Now, the other thing that's big occurred, they just announced, we're recording this on Wednesday. On Tuesday, they announced this whole list of the new coaches, which is like 143 guys. They didn't list any new research and development kind of people. So we hope maybe they remember you're supposed to have one of those departments, but they may not.
Yeah, it kind of looks like they're just going with the same game plan in terms of staffing. There's some different guys, but not necessarily guys that I'm super excited about.
Grady Sizemore's called a major league coach. What the hell does that mean?
I have no idea.
I think it's just picking up another guy that killed the White Sox every time he played him.
Seems like it, because signing Grady Sizemore and just calling him major league coach is so baffling to me. I mean, apparently he's going to be doing base running.
Base running and outfield, yeah.
Which, of course, we could use coaching on. So if they clearly see something about Grady Sizemore, he was a good ball player. So maybe that's an interesting signing. But when you're talking about just base running and outfield, you're not going to see any sort of monumental impact from your major league coach.
The only other name that I really recognize is Marcus Thames, who was a good ball player in his day. But the interesting thing is they've stepped up. You probably noticed this, and most of the commenters have. Now, last time around, it was all Kansas City all the time, which, of course, Whit Merrifield goes back to that. But as far as all the coaching, everybody came in from Kansas City. You go, why do we want to get all these people from places that are worse than us? But this time, it's almost all Angels. That's the Jess Barfield connection. And the Angels are actually slightly better as far as their record.
Now, the fact that you can even say that sentence is embarrassing.
Is there a debate over the most dysfunctional team in Major League Baseball? No, the White Sox have it made. Is there a debate over the second most dysfunctional team in Major League Baseball? No, the Angels have that pretty well wrapped.
Yeah.
So I figure by 2042, we'll be getting staff from top teams. You know, from Houston and Atlanta and the Dodgers and Texas and whatnot. But it's another 20 years away.
Yeah, definitely. Filling your staff with people from the Angels is just I don't even know how to respond to that. Like, it's so weird. It's like, oh, well, we're a disaster. But let's see how much of a disaster we can be. Let's go out there and get guys who are here's what I'll say. Those coaches are probably comfortable with discomfort. So maybe bringing them into the White Sox organization, they're not going to be shocked at how poorly it's run because the Angels are horribly run. So maybe they will walk in and be like, this feels like home, and they will be very comfortable in their coaching positions. Speaking of the Angels,
could be. That's the only place the White Sox could find people willing to come.
I think that's what it was. I think we can even take that out of your hypothesis bracket and put it in your correctly guessed bracket. Speaking of the Angels, we have to talk about a guy who will definitely not be an Angel next year.
There's some speculation that they're going to give it a run.
Yeah, and I'm sure all of those comments were coming from somebody named, you know, C.Angel on the comment threads, because I just don't see a world in any way where Shohei Ohtani decides I don't want to go to the playoffs for my entire major league career and go back to the Angels. This year, the top free agents aren't going anywhere until we know where Shohei Ohtani lands. The White Sox have already illegally said they're not pursuing Ohtani.
I was shocked.
Yeah, shocked that they're not going to give away a contract worth $450 million more than the highest contract they've ever given out. Unfortunately, Bob Nightingale has said that the Cubs are planning on being the most aggressive pursuer of Ohtani. I don't really see a world where he goes to the Cubs. It's possible they already have a Japanese player who's a somewhat star in Suzuki. That could be appealing to him. I think if Ohtani goes to the Cubs, the White Sox should just move like they've been threatening. Talk about a disparity in attendance numbers, probably unlike anything we've ever seen from these two teams, and I'm including 2016 in that. If Ohtani goes to the Cubs, you might as well not have a team on the South Side next year. They will be – I mean, the good news is people won't be paying attention to how bleak it is on the South Side. Nobody will be writing about it or caring about it or watching or attending or looking, because – I think even most of your White Sox fans are going to be trying to get tickets to go to Wrigley to see Ohtani. As a Los Angeles Dodgers fan, as my second team of preference, I got to say it would be pretty devastating for him not to end up in Los Angeles. I know MLB trade rumors, all three of them predicted Ohtani goes to the Dodgers. It makes the most sense, but you know, obviously you've heard this before, but we've never seen a guy like this on the free agency market since Babe Ruth. And that was a very different scenario and different time period.
I don't believe there was a free agency market at the time.
There was not. So quite different. But Ohtani, you're dealing with a guy who just having him on your team is worth whatever that number is because of the money that comes in from the international fan base, from merchandise sales. I mean, if you can get an Ohtani jersey that says Dodgers on the front of it, that will be the best-selling jersey in all of sports. If you can get one that says New York, not Queens, but the Bronx on the front of it, that's going to be the best-selling jersey in all of professional sports.
Well, I think either New York team would work. And yeah. The Giants, it would work.
Yeah. So Ohtani is a guy who is undoubtedly worth the money, even if he is just a DH forever. I mean, he's going to be a good DH for 10, 12 more years. He's going to get a massive contract. It will be the biggest contract in the history of the game. Could end up being the biggest contract in the history of professional sports. Likely will be.
What's the soccer contract? They have some absolutely humongous. What does Messi get?
I don't know. I mean, he's probably not getting that from Inter Miami, but in the past, it's possible he's gotten it from Barcelona, something like that. I meant in the history of North American sports. When you're talking about soccer, that's a whole other creature in other parts of the world. Ohtani going to the Cubs would be the most devastating thing for me as a baseball fan that could happen for 2024. I would just be devastated to see that guy in a jersey that says Chicago on the front in red, white, and blue and not black and white. That would just be brutal. I think Ohtani most likely goes to the Dodgers. I think there's a chance he could go to a place like the Giants. I think West Coast teams generally are far more appealing to Japanese players. If you can get a big deal, it's just an easier situation to and from Japan for your fans, for your family, for your friends.
Larger Japanese communities.
Populations by far, not even close. My big fear is that he goes to the Yankees. My second biggest fear is he goes to the Cubs. But I do think Ohtani will land on the West Coast, likely in Los Angeles.
Now, I should point out that there may be – the Cubs may have been working on this for some time. Of course, they couldn't say they were doing that. But as you know, he lived just over a mile from Wrigley Field. And in our immediate neighborhood, and more since you moved from this area, we got to have 20 Japanese restaurants. I mean, they're everywhere. And I think that probably that was the Cubs coming in and laying the groundwork, making loans to guys who needed to be able to afford their sushi.
Well, if that's the case, then the Dodgers have been working on Ohtani for 100 years, because I think your 20 Japanese restaurants within walking distance can be upped by the 700 within walking distance of my apartment right now. I'm not sure the sushi is going to do it. Plus, Midwest sushi, you're telling me that Shohei Ohtani, if he even eats sushi, I don't know. But if he does, you're telling me he's going to eat Midwest sushi? I don't think so. I don't think so.
I think they'll fly it in directly from Tokyo. Boom.
Well, that is, I mean, if he is eating sushi in Chicago, yes, it is being flown in from Tokyo. There is no doubt about that. Gosh, I just really hope he doesn't go to the Cubs.
I do too, and I'd have a chance to see him just walking for 20 minutes.
Yeah, although you wouldn't, because you'd be priced out of the tickets. Because
that's true.
The StubHub market, if Ohtani is on the Cubs, is going to be astronomically higher than it was this previous year. I have a ticket hookup with the Dodgers, so my hope is that he comes to the Dodgers so I can see Ohtani play for free. But yes, none of these major free agents will fall into place until the Shohei Ohtani saga is over. And it is really just sort of starting to begin. I mean, we're not at any point where Shohei has really made any hints at what he's thinking. I don't think there's been any offers or anything like that.
I guess it was in the chat on MLBTR that, somebody asked this a question about that was related to it, and they were saying, you know, most players for quite a while after the season are very quiet about what's going on, and they said Ohtani much more so than anybody else. He's just really doesn't talk at all.
I do think
to the Japanese market.
And I think his decision will 100% depend on just where he wants to play. I don't think there's a world where if somebody offers him $600 million and somebody offers him $500 million, he's taking $600 no matter what. It's just not, I think, in his nature. I've been around him very, very just nodding in the hallway kind of thing. And he is such a classy and hardworking and fantastic player and human that I think when you talk about that kind of money, not only as a player, but also culturally, he is going to go where he wants to play. It's still going to be $500 million.
Yeah. So I think as long as it is the biggest contract ever, because that's an ego thing. Each player wants to outdo all the previous ones. I think it has to be the biggest ever. And it should be the biggest ever by a margin where he feels it's probably going to stay that way for a while.
Well, I think, at that point,
what's the difference between $500 million and $520 million? You know?
Exactly, exactly.
You can eat pretty well, and your kids can, and your grandkids, and your great-grandkids, and your great-great-great-grandkids. So
I was talking to a couple of my Japanese coworkers with the Dodgers, and they were both like, look, it is also very much a cultural thing. The idea of taking $600 million over $500 million, they're like, it's just not going to be a thing for him. It's going to be really based on where he wants to play. Sure, yes, he's going to want the biggest contract of all time. He's going to get that. On the lowest projections, he's going to scorch the biggest contract of all time. So I think when you get up to the $500 million range versus 550, 575, 525, 600, I don't think those numbers are going to – if he really doesn't want to be a Yankee and the Yankees offer him 575 and the Dodgers offer him 500, I think he's going to the Dodgers. He just seems to function that way. When you're talking about numbers that big, it just doesn't matter if you're getting an extra $25 million. A big thing will be the length of that contract, which I think is going to be the most interesting aspect of this whole Shohei thing, because I not only think he's going to get the largest contract money wise, he might get the most years anyone's ever gotten, which currently I think is 13 years. It could be 14, but I'm pretty sure it's 13. And, you know, you give him a 14-year deal, and you're talking about Shohei up through age, what, 42? That's tricky.
Also, there's the question that has become popular just, I think, in the last few years. It's become really popular in MLB contracts is the opt-out.
Right. Yeah, I mean, very popular. There are a few deals signed by stars anymore that do not have opt-outs. It's very, very rare. Now, I don't know where that would fall in the process of a 14-year deal or something like that. But, you know, you're not going to say we're giving him 13 with an opt-out at 14. So I'm not sure. It will be at least 10 years. I don't see a world where Shohei is taking a deal that is under 10 years. It could be 9.
I think their prediction was 12. Sounds reasonable.
12 makes sense. Then you have them up to 39 or 40 years old. We see a lot of contracts now that go to someone's age 40.
And they are usually bad contracts at the end. But
yes,
in his case, as in several of the others, it's so valuable early that you just eat that.
Yeah, we have
part of what you're doing in making it 12 or 14 or 26 year contract is just spreading out the luxury tax.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that you're not hitting those barriers, or at least the tops of those barriers, as you go along. You say, we're only paying them, $30 million this year, whatever.
And you could also see a team do the type of structuring where they're paying him $26 million for the rest of his life. Could be structured like that so that teams can continue to build a team around him without having $50 million a year on one player on the payroll. Bobby Bonilla being the famous example of a guy who I think is going to get paid.
I love Bobby Bonilla Day.
Bobby Bonilla Day is the best day in all of baseball. Before we are out of time, but I do want to point out that we have a new baseball league coming to the world. If you've not been paying attention, there is going to be a new baseball league in the Middle East. And Bartolo Colon was a first round draft pick, which, I mean, Bartolo Colon, who I think is 85 and weighs 85 plus 300. Is going to be playing professional baseball again elsewhere in the world. It looks like it's going to be a who's who of who was in Major League Baseball. Robinson Cano.
Having played several years of baseball in the Middle East, I can tell you that for a lot of those places, including Dahran, where I was, summers are warm. So yeah. Are they playing? Are they going to play this in the winter? That's what would make sense. We played baseball in the winter.
You would have to. We
actually played basketball in the summer because we could be inside air conditioned gyms.
I think with a guy like Bartolo Colon, I don't think he's pitching in 121 degrees at age 90. So I would assume they're playing in the winter, but I don't know for sure. But the good news is, and the reason I bring this up, is we are going to have an opportunity for a second home run from Bartolo Colon. I don't know the rules or how hitting will work or anything like that. I have no clue what baseball in this league will look like. But just the fact that we could get a second Bartolo Colon home run just amps you as a baseball fan. I remember the one and only, one of the greatest moments in the history of the game. You gotta love Bartolo, and I'm excited that he's going to keep playing baseball somewhere with what seems like it will be a slightly elevated version of a men's rec league. A lot of these retired Major League Baseball players continue to play in these rec leagues when they're older. There's a great video, actually, of Jason Worth playing in a men's rec league. And I think that ball still hasn't landed. But yeah, so there will be new baseball next year, which is very fascinating, weird. I don't know why it's happening. I can't imagine there's a huge draw for, you know, Robinson Cano in the Middle East, but maybe there is. But we will certainly be following that, and I think it will be an interesting thing to talk about if it actually even happens. I don't know, but they have drafted their players. Most of the first round was MLB players who were very, very good at one point and are now in their 40s. So we're gonna watch some old timers ball happening in the Middle East next year, which should be pretty exciting. That is all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for listening. We will be here as free agency unfolds and be talking White Sox baseball throughout that process. So thanks for listening, and we will see you next time on Sharing Socks.